Before I get down to talking about certain practical things, I just want to make a few introductory remarks in connection with the parsha. The Rambam paskens in Hilchos Tefillah that the concept of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos morning, Monday morning, Thursday morning is a takana which originated with Moshe Rabbeinu. And it originated, according to the Gemara in Bava Kamma, in order that this situation shouldn't arise that a person should go through 3 days without hearing Torah. Therefore, if you have Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday, the Kriyas HaTorah, then you haven't got 3 days without hearing Divrei Torah. The fact that we take the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah and divide it up into 52 sections, which we call parshiyos, and read each parsha, starting from Bereishis, which we read the Shabbos after Simchas Torah, until Vezos HaBracha, which we read on Simchas Torah, seems to be simply a technical eitzah in order that one should be able to complete the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah within a year. In other words, there is a minhag. Originally there were two minhagim, and finally it boiled down to one minhag, that one reads Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, the entire Torah, during the course of the year. Therefore, technically, if you want to finish the entire Torah during the course of the year, you have to split it up into the number of Shabbosim that there are in the year, and therefore technically you split it up into 52 parshas. The concept being that there should be some sort of continuity. However, there seem to be indications from a variety of sources that it's not just a technical concept that in order to be able to finish the entire Torah in 1 year, you split it up into 52 parts, but that each parasha has a certain relevance for the week. Because if the whole point was just continuity to complete the entire Torah, put that cigarette out. If the concept was just the continuity that one should finish the entire Torah within the course of a year, then lichura, every Shabbos morning, we should start from Sheni, because we've already read the first of the seven aliyahs on the Monday and on the Thursday and on the previous Shabbos Mincha. So if it's just a question of completing the entire Torah in a cycle of 1 year, then why on Shabbos morning do we have to start again from the beginning of the parasha, start where we left off on the previous Thursday, namely Sheni? To which the Achronim say that you see that it's not just a question of continuity, but there is an actual inyan that every week you read the parasha of the week, because the parasha of the week has a relevance to what's going on during the course of that week. The major topic which is discussed in this week's parasha is the meeting that takes place between Yaakov and Esav. But for those who have learnt the parasha, there are a number of prominent questions that the Mefarshim ask on the parasha, most of them which are already brought up by Rashi. The parasha starts off by saying that Yaakov sent messengers to Esav, and Rashi says that these weren't physical messengers, but these were angels. And the first question that everybody asks on the parasha is, Yaakov is about to go to war, as far as he thinks, against Esav, and if you're going to war against somebody and you want to find out what his situation is, then logic dictates that what you should be doing is be sending people who have some understanding in military matters to find out and to be able to spy out what the situation of the enemy army is. So why did he send angels? Why didn't he just find a few people who had experience in fighting, send them out, say, have a look, see what the man's got, see what his forces are, see what his strategy is, come back and tell us, and we'll work accordingly. In the continuation of the parasha, it says that when Yaakov sends out the first people to meet Esav, he instructs them, and he says to them that don't forget to tell Esav that im lovon gauti v'echer adoto, that the reason why I haven't met you beforehand, the reason why I've been delayed, is because I was living for a number of years with Lavan. To which Rashi says that what he told these people was, go tell Esav that in Lavan garti, the Taryag mitzvah shamarti. That was by Lavan, and I kept all the mitzvahs. Now that really makes a big difference to Esav. Esav's turning up with 400 guys in order to basically kill Yaakov and his family. And Yaakov's working out a strategy. How does he get out of this situation? Right? He's got a guy who's willing to murder him and his family and everybody else. And he has to work out a way in which he can stop him. So he says, oh, I've got a great idea how to stop him. I'll send him a couple of people, and they'll tell him that I'm a very orthodox, religious, observant Jew. And he's therefore going to pick himself up and run away. What's the im lovon gauti, the tariag mitzvah shamati, got to do with what's happening here? He also tells them, don't forget, when you get to Esav, tell him that I have a lot of shor v'chamor. I have a lot of cattle, I have a lot of mules. So the pashut pshat is that he was trying to say to Esav, you shouldn't really be jealous of me, and you shouldn't really hate me, and you shouldn't really fight me because I got the brachas and you didn't, because the brachas didn't help me, because everything that I had, and this is the way Rashi explains it, I never got it because of the brachas, I never got it as a unnatural act, or as a Yerusha for my father. I got it because I worked for Lavan for years, and I managed to put together my salary and buy Shor v'Chamor. However, Chazal understand it totally differently. Chazal understand it that Yaakov said to these people, go tell Esav that he shouldn't start out with me because I have a shor and a chamor. Say Chazal, what's a shor? Say Chazal that shor is Yosef, because it says about Yosef, b'chor shor hodoloi, and chamor is Yisachar, because the Pasuk uses in reference to Yisachar, Chamor Goram Revis Bein HaMishpatoim. In other words, Yaakov is saying to the messengers, go and tell Esav that he shouldn't start out with me because I have two kids. One's called Yosef and one's called Yisachar. But what was so unique about Yosef and what was so unique about Yisachar that when he hears Yosef and Yisachar, he's going to run? But we know, Shimon Belevi, maybe you heard the story, right, that they are very powerful people, as we'll see later on in the parasha. Right? But why? What's Yosef and Yisachar? Yosef was a kid at the time. I mean, what's Yosef going to throw? He's going to throw his pacifier at him. I mean, what's Yosef exactly going to do? That Esav's going to be scared. It also says in the pasuk that Yaakov himself was scared of the meeting between Esav and himself, and it uses two expressions in the pasuk. One expression of the pasuk is that Vayiro Yaakov, that he was frightened, and the other pasuk is that Vayita Yaakov, that he felt constricted. And then the Mefarshim ask, why these two expressions? They also ask, why Bichal was he scared? The Ribbono Shelolam promised him that Hinei Anochi Imcha Shmaticha Mikol Asher Teilev Vashivesicha Adom Azos. The Mefarshim also ask, why is it that Yaakov said, Hatzileini No Miyad Ochi Miyad Esav? Why did he have to say Miyad Ochi Miyad Esav? Rashi already asked this. He only had one brother. So if it's Ochi, it must be Esav. If it's Esav, it must be Ochi. Why does he repeat Ochi and Esav? And then all of a sudden, in the middle of this meeting, this war that's going to happen between Yaakov and Esav, we end up with a strange story of an angel that appears and starts fighting around with Yaakov. And this is the Tsar of Esav. So the Mefarshim say, well, why was he fighting with Yaakov? Why didn't he bother fighting with Avram beforehand or with Yitzchak? What's up with Yaakov? Why did he pick on on Yaakov? And we also find that the way in which Yaakov organizes his camp is that he puts them out in a certain order. Who does he put at the very end? He puts Yosef at the very end. Rashi says, why? Achron achrav choviv, because the last one is the dearest one. Parshas Vayeshev, we got a whole story there about how the brothers hate Yosef. Why they hate Yosef? Because Yaakov treats him like a favorite. Yaakov treats him differently than the others. So why did he put Yosef at the back? He's just stirring up the fire. Yet we don't find anywhere that one of the complaints that the brothers had about the treatment of Yaakov to them was that he favored Yosef, and the fact that he protected Yosef more against Esau than he protected anybody else. And then there's a question which none of the Mefarshim ask, but which I ask. Well, I couldn't find it. Maybe the Mefarshim do ask it, which I think is the most difficult question. And that is, the Pasuk says, Mefurish, that Esau said that Kol Zman, that Yitzchak is alive, he will not kill Yaakov. It's Mefurish of Pasuk. What did Esau say? He said, I'll wait until my father dies, and then I'll get my own back on Yaakov. When this story takes place of Yaakov meeting Esau, Yitzchak's still alive. So why Bichlal is Yaakov scared of Esau? There was a haftocha from the Ribbono Shel Olam. There was a promise from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam promised Yaakov Avinu, "V'hinei anoichi imchol shmaticha b'chol asher telech asher v'sicha la'adom ha'azois, and I will never forsake you." There is absolutely no possibility that Yaakov Avinu was scared in any way of Esau on a physical level. He wasn't scared of Esau at all. He knew that there's no way in which Esau can overpower him. Esau cannot destroy Yaakov. In 1933, it was Tofresh Sadi Dalad in the Hebrew date, but it was 1933. When Hitler won the election in Germany, and he came to power, the Panajirov Zichron Livracha went into the Chofetz Chaim. And he said to the Chofetz Chaim, everybody knows what Hitler's plans are. Everybody knows that he wants to annihilate the Jews. What's going to happen to the Jews in Germany? What's going to happen to the Jews in Eastern Europe if Hitler advances into Eastern Europe? To which the Chofetz Chaim said, it is impossible for Esau to destroy Yaakov. There's a haftocha in the Torah that it's impossible for Esau to totally destroy Yaakov. Therefore, Esau will not destroy Yaakov. However, that doesn't mean that parts of Klal Yisrael can't be destroyed. What it means is that the entirety of Klal Yisrael will not be destroyed. To which the Panajirov said to the Chofetz Chaim, which means that Germany and Eastern Europe is lost. To which the Chofetz Chaim didn't answer him, but the Chofetz Chaim said to him that there's a pasuk that says, "Ubetzion tishrei leplato," Eretz Yisrael will be the refuge. And that's the pasuk which is on the building of Panovej Yeshiva, which the Panajirov, when he put up the building, put it up because that was the pasuk. And Panajirov came out and said, we have a problem. But to destroy totally Klal Yisrael, Esau can't do it, and therefore Yaakov wasn't scared in the slightest from Esau on a physical level. What was Yaakov scared of? Yaakov was scared of something else. He was scared of the fact that there are two sides to Esau. There's a physical Esau, and then there's the Esau who's the Rosha. There's Esau who's a Mushkas. There's Esau who is totally negative from a Ruchniyistika perspective. Says Yaakov Avinu, I'm not scared of Esau the person. I'm scared of Ochi Esau. I'm scared of the brotherly love of the Rosha Esau. I'm scared of the fact that when Esau turns up with an entire community with 400 people, what sort of effect is he going to have on my community? spiritually, what sort of effect is he going to have on my community? Because at the end of the day, I don't believe that he's going to come with a fight. Because he knows as well as I do that in a fight he's not going to succeed. Esav Seinet Yaakov. But he's not going to succeed in being able to destroy Yaakov in a physical sense. But he is hoping that he'll be able to destroy Yaakov in a spiritual sense. How will he destroy him? Ochi. Because we'll become best buddies. And if we become best buddies, then there's a natural hashpo. And therefore, if he wants to find out whether Esav does have the power to overcome him or not on a spiritual level, he doesn't send military spies to find out. He sends malachim, he sends spiritual entities, because they can analyze spiritual influence. And he sends a message to Esav, and he says to Esav, you're not going to win this one either. Why? Because in Lovan Galti, we're telling Yisra Shamalti. I've been through this before. I've built a situation where I can protect myself from outside influences. And if you want to know how, because I've got a Sharon HaChamo. I've got Yosef and I've got Yisachar. Yosef and Yisachar symbolize amongst the children of Yaakov Avinu, Limra Teira. Yosef, who sends the Agolas to Yaakov to remind him what sugya they were learning. When Yosef leaves, Yosef, who Chazal say, sat and learned the whole time with Yaakov. And Yisachar, who made a deal with Zvulun, that he'll learn and Zvulun will support him. Yosef and Yisachar represent Torah. Says Yaakov to Esav, you're not going to win this one, because I have something which will protect me. And that is the limud haTorah that's going on in my community. Vayira Yaakov was scared. He wasn't scared of the physical attack of Esav. Vayitzala, he was scared of the Yetzer Hara that will be created by the community of Esav on ruchniyistika things. The parsha of the fight between Soresh and Esav and Yaakov is part and parcel of this milchama. The Sar Shel Esav represents the ruchniyistik side of Esav. The ruchniyistik side of Esav was fighting with Yaakov. Why? He didn't care about Avram. Let Jews be Bali Chesed, who cares? He didn't care even about Yitzchok. Let Jews daven. Big deal. But don't let them learn Torah, because if they learn Torah, that will protect them. That's the barrier against outside influences. That he didn't want. When Yaakov succeeds in overcoming the angel of Esav, what does the angel of Esav say to him? Your name won't be Yaakov anymore, but your name will be Yisrael. Yaakov, why was he called Yaakov? Because he was on the heel of Esav. He was attached to Esav. Esav was schlepping him with. Says the Malach, once you've conquered me, I can't have any influence over you anymore. Now your name is Yisroel. Now you're in control. Srora. Yisroel, says Rashi, is Miloshen Srora. So why was Yaakov scared at all? He knew he had terror on his side. Because Yaakov said, when it comes to physical things that Rebbeinu Shlom can promise me, then nothing will happen to me. When it comes to spiritual things that Rebbeinu Shlom can't promise me, that I'll definitely win. I have things to help me, I have a limit, I have other things. But, Hakel B'day Shemayim, Chutz Meira Shemayim, when it comes to spiritual things, we have to work for it. It doesn't come of its own accord. We read this parasha always prior to Hanukkah. Because this parasha is telling us something. This parasha is telling us the following. That the whole story of Hanukkah was an attempt on the part of non-Jews and a certain section of Jews to create the situation of assimilation. But the assimilation didn't mean, as we see very clearly from Chazal, didn't mean necessarily intermarrying. It didn't mean necessarily marrying non-Jewish women, which is usually the way we refer to the concept of assimilation. Assimilation meant accepting norms of behavior which have nothing at all to do with Judaism. Taking on non-Jewish norms of behavior, that's what the Yevonim and that's what the Misyavnim were trying to do. They were trying to create an environment amongst Klal Yisrael where the norms of behavior have nothing at all to do with Yiddishkeit, have nothing at all to do with Torah. Where the norms of behavior are exactly the same as the non-Jewish world, except we do have something else. We also daven a bit. We also keep some form of Shabbos. We also keep some form of kashrus. But basically, we go with the non-Jewish culture. And that was what the Muhammad was all about. L'hashkichom teirasecho u'lahavirom mechukei ritzaynecho. That's what they wanted to do. And the Ramban says that every time the Rav Yanai, it's Yerushalmi, every time Rav Yanai had to go and had to meet with the non-Jewish authorities about anything which was to do with Klal Yisrael, he first sat down and learned Parshas Vayishlach. Says Ramban, why? He says, because Parshas Vayishlach tells us what our relationship has to be with the non-Jewish community. Srora, and not Akiv. Yisrael, and not Yaakov. We don't schlep noch them, we control them. We're above them. It's very easy to turn Hanukkah into an Esav. It's very easy to act on Hanukkah like a non-Jew. But then we're defeating the whole purpose, because the whole purpose is that we're trying to celebrate the victory of the Jews, not the victory of the Misyavnim and the Yevonim. Right? For that we need a big tree outside. And therefore it's a steer in Minei Ubei to act on Hanukkah in a way which doesn't commemorate Hanukkah. Now I want to talk about some very practical issues.